This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by Clark's Pump and Shop, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Edwin Watts Golf, and Georgetown Advantage Air. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning on this Memorial Day weekend, Sunday. I hope you're safe. I hope you're able to dodge the raindrops whenever you're going to play this weekend. We get an extra day. It's supposed to be pretty nice tomorrow. I think I might play 72 holes tomorrow and signal the official start of summer. Anyway. Coming up on the show today, we have, well, first I'll talk about the two guests we have, and then I'm going to talk about an announcement. Julie Williams from Golf Week magazine is going to be joining us. She's always great, and we're going to talk about this fantastic NCAA Women's Championship that we just had. And I watched a great deal of it, and it was great. It was just great. We'll talk about that, about why we think match play should be prevalent in all golf, all tours. Match play is fantastic. And if you got a chance to watch the NCAAs, you'll know what I'm talking about. It was great. Congratulations to Ole Miss, the surprise winner of the Women's NCAA Golf Team Championship, their first SEC, that's incorrect. I'll take that back. Their first national championship, I believe, in any women's sport. Their first. So way to go, Ole Miss. Great job. Of course, Matt McCrady from Man of War Golf will be joining me, as he does every week. Maybe we'll talk a little about the bulk, Biceps and Brooks, and because that all happened since last we were on with Backspin Golf. And I also want to talk to him about this TV deal that they're doing again with Mickelson and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers playing with the bulk. I think it's a joke. Anyway, I'll talk to Matt McCrady about that and some stuff. But first, coming up is going to be my friend Chris Rettle, and we have an amazing announcement to make regarding Backspin Golf and the Bluegrass Golf Tour and Junior Golf. And it's really an honor, and well, you'll hear, because I'm going to talk to our buddy Chris Rettle. Here we go. On the first tee, here we go. And here he is joining me now, the executive director of the Bluegrass Golf Tour Foundation, is our buddy Chris Rettle. And boy, do we have an announcement to make. Good morning, Chris Rettle.
Good morning, Matthew. I'm always happy to join you for this early Sunday morning tee time.
Well, you know, this is a special one. Everything you do and all the great people involved with this tour do to promote junior golf in our state is fantastic. But I'm really kind of, Sean, you won't believe this, I'm kind of humbled by this. And humility is not one of my big traits, as Sean will point out to you real quickly. But I'm so honored that you would do this with us on Backspin. And this is a pretty big announcement. So let's start, and you can fill the people in on what we're going to do here with Backspin Golf and the Junior Golf Series, which is operated by the Bluegrass Golf Tour.
Well, let me start with this question for you, Matthew. Do you know many radio shows that have their own Junior Golf Tour Series?
I don't know one, not one.
Well, now you do know one. We're really excited with the Bluegrass Golf Tour to partner with Backspin Golf and develop a Backspin Golf Series with seven events that take place during the month of June with the Bluegrass Golf Tour. They're all located within 30 minutes of the Lexington area, and we'll be able to give Player of the Year points to players in each of those events, just like we do all season long. But that series, the best four totals of the seven events will be used to be able to have a Backspin Series Player of the Year in the Lexington area this year in those seven divisions. How does that sound to you?
I just got chills. Seriously. This is a great thing. One of the joys of doing what I do, and Sean by extension here on Backspin Golf, is whatever we can to promote golf in the junior ranks, because that's where it all is. It's developing all these young players to play the game we love for the rest of their lives. And for them to be able to have something like the Backspin Series, not only this series, as I said, but everything you do with the Bluegrass Golf Tour and Junior Golf, it's fantastic. Let's dive into some of the particulars so that people know what we're talking about here.
All right. So first off, this is open for all players 18 and under. There's seven divisions that are going to be included in the series. Those divisions include the boys 15 to 18, boys 12 to 14, girls 15 to 18, and girls 14 and under divisions. Those are all 18-hole divisions. And then we have three 9-hole divisions included, which are the boys 11 and 12 division, boys 10 and under division, and girls 12 and under division. So those are the seven divisions that will be included in the series. And let's look at the events that we have in the Lexington area as well and kind of spotlight those. On Saturday, June the 5th, we're going to be at Golf Club of the Bluegrass in Nicholasville. On Sunday, June 13th, we're going to be at Houston Oaks Golf Course in Paris. On Tuesday, June 15th, we'll be at Cherry Blossom Golf Club in Georgetown. On Wednesday, June 16th, we'll be at Gibson Bay in Richmond. And then on Thursday, the 24th of June, we'll be at Winchester Country Club. I believe you've talked to old Robbie Baldwin recently on your show too, haven't you?
I have. And it's now that you bring, just for a second, you bring Robbie Baldwin and Winchester Country Club up. This weekend, they are playing their 85th Memorial Day tournament at Winchester. 85th. One. That's almost as old as I am. It's amazing.
Well, and certainly Robbie's doing some tremendous work too with the junior golfers there at Winchester Country Club. But the last two events in the series on Saturday, June 26th, we're at the Woodford Club in Versailles, and we'll wrap it all up with really our first big tournament of the year on June 30th and July 1st. We have the Bluegrass Junior Amateur. And that's out at the University Club of Kentucky. We play both courses. We play the Big Blue course on the first day, and we play the Wildcat course on the second day. We'll have a huge video board up there that we do the leaderboards on. And it's really exciting for me, too. I get to recognize Backspin Golf and have your logo popping up there throughout the event in support of this series. And I couldn't be – it's the perfect opportunity. We want to connect with – You give us the medium to be able to recognize these kids when they do well over the course of the series and help let the players know that there's options available for them. And these seven tournaments, they're all available on bluegrassgolftour.com. It's our website, bluegrassgolftour.com. And what do you think? Do you think we can come up with a good membership deal for everybody as well?
I don't know. Let's think about this for a minute. You and I might have to have a conference. Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
So when a new member joins the tour right now, they can use the coupon code of BACKSPIN1. That's BACKSPIN1 as a coupon code. They'll get 80% off their tour membership. It's only going to cost $6 for them to join the Bluegrass Golf Tour for the rest of the calendar year.
This is just seriously, I know I'm stammering here, but it's incredible. It's an amazing opportunity for $6 to be able to play in these events. This is important. Now there are four, they can play, all these kids can compete in as many events as they want to. Right. And the best four, as you said, the 4 point totals are going to determine the series point champion.
Right. We recognize that some players might want to play in a lot of tournaments. Some players might only want to play in one or two. Some may have never played in a tournament before. We cater to all ages, all abilities at our tournaments. We set up the courses at age-appropriate yardages, and then they can pick and choose how many tournaments they want to enter. Each tournament has its own entry fee, so they can decide whether they want to enter one or two, or they want to play all seven in the series and we'll take the best four. Or maybe they want to travel and play in some more events outside of the area. They'll have that opportunity. We have over 70 events on our schedule, and we're already into about event number 20 this weekend. So, you know, we're rolling on through. Now that the kids are getting out of school, we have more and more opportunities for them to play. And we try to have events as close to home for as many players as possible, stretching from Ashland to Paducah and from Northern Kentucky down to the Tennessee-Kentucky border. So, we really appreciate, though, being able to partner with Backspin Golf. You've been a longtime friend of our tour and of the foundation, and given us the opportunity to talk about junior golf. And now you are, as well. This is the only, you're the only radio show host that I know of that has his own junior golf series as well. So I'm really excited to partner with you on that.
Well, and here's the best part. And Sean, listen to this. I now have something else to brag about. I mean, other than my normal stuff, now I have. This one might go at the top of the list here, and I'm sure Sean loves hearing that. Okay, and I'm going to come out to as many of these as I can, since it is Backspin Golf. So, Sean, I won't be around at all during the month of June.
Do you want to go out in the first tee time, Matthew, or do you want us to put you on the last group?
If you have a division for super, super seniors on the junior golf tour, then I'll be glad to do it. This is just, it's just so great. I keep shaking my head because I have this printed out and looking at it. And of course, we will talk about it. I'm going to update on Backspin every week during June, not only on Backspin, but on the drive every day with Sean and Jimmy. We'll, during that week, we'll update everybody about what's going on with the tour.
And the good news from our side, we'll also be have that information updated. Everyone can go to bluegrassgolftour.com. That's our website. When you get to the front page of the website, you'll see an option to join as a member. So that's where that coupon code, BACKSPIN1, to get just a $6 membership. And then also there will be a link on that main page that will connect to the Backspin Golf Series Player of the Year races. So anybody at any point during the year can go in and check out bluegrassgolftour.com, see where the juniors stand on the Backspin Golf Series, as well as our full Player of the Year. That also shows on our website and our schedule of events. More information about the tour, all available through the website at bluegrassgolftour.com.
Now, I'm just sitting here listening to you talk about not only our seven events here with the Backspin Series. You just mentioned there are roughly 70 events all around the state. What, are there like five of you guys? Are there five Chris Reddles who are just traveling all the time? How do you do this?
You know, I really wish there was. I've been working on the, I've been trying to clone myself for years. I haven't quite yet perfected that ability yet, but I've got a loving family that allows me to do what I absolutely love. Right now, right. I'm in the middle of 9 tournaments on 9 days in different cities in a row. That's not very common. I usually have a break about every 3 or 4 days during the course of the season where I can catch up on emails and some other things. But again, this is my passion. I love to present these opportunities for the kids to be out there to play. It keeps me young by being around these junior golfers. And I'll tell you what, we've got some really, really good players that play on our tour. But we also have players that have never played in a golf tournament before that otherwise might be afraid to go out and play. I call myself the goofiest tournament director east of the Mississippi. If you don't believe me, just ask me, I'll tell you. We have a lot of fun out there on the tour, and we present these opportunities for the kids. And that's what it's all about.
And again, this is so important to get kids just starting out playing the game to have fun out there as they get a sense of what it means to actually compete in a tournament setting, but one where it's fun. They'll make new friendships. They'll meet other kids their own age who are playing golf. That will develop friendships that hopefully last their whole lives.
I see it almost every tournament. I'll see two players that had never played together before. And at the end of the tournament, after the awards are presented, they're standing off to the side, exchanging phone numbers because they're going to get together and play golf together at some point in the future. Because most players are only going to travel 30 to 45 minutes to play in a tournament. So most of the time you're playing with somebody else that lives relatively close to where you are. And you can get together through the, throughout the summer, not just to play in tournament golf, but maybe get together and go out and have a good round. That's what it's all about, getting on the golf course. And, you know, youth on course, there's a lot of other great programs that exist throughout Kentucky to give these kids more opportunities. We're all in the same church. We're just in different pews. I know I've used that line on your show before. Yeah. We're trying to grow the game so that when these young golfers get older, it's a game of a lifetime. They're just starting their journey in that lifetime of golf.
And here's another thing. As the father of two teenagers who it's one thing during the school year, at least you know where they are now. This year, they've either been at home doing virtual learning or you knew they were in school. During the summer, all parents are looking for something healthy for their kids to do at whatever age. There is nothing better than golf. I used to work across the street from a really, really big-time golf course at a certain university. And every day during the summer, at some point, I would either go to putt or go to play, and parents would drop their kids off in the morning, and they would have camps and clinics and all kinds, and they'd come back and get them in the afternoon or in the early evening. And those kids were at the golf course all day. And boy, that's something as a parent, I know parents are really, really thankful for.
And it's something we've kind of connected to a little bit as well. Our kids are always on their phones. We're in that world of the kids are always on their phone. We allow our players to use their phones and do live scoring at our events. So we do have some parents. We know our parents are also busy. They might have to drop their kids off for a golf tournament, and then they can follow along hole by hole on how they're doing. I always tell the kids, there's thousands of people at home that are trying to follow along and see how you're doing. When you enter those scores, they'll all be able to see your scores along the way. And for the parents, that can really help because they might have to go back to work for a few hours. All right, they're on the 16th hole. I need to get back to the golf course. I'll be there on 18 green as they come in and finish their last hole.
Is there anything you haven't thought of?
I haven't figured
out.
Politics. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I'm talking about on the golf course. There's a lot of other stuff we don't know anything about, believe me. Here's one quick final question. Do you, as busy as you are, do you ever get to, like, sit and watch golf? Like, did you see any of the PGA Championship?
That's one of the things I really miss. I got to hear all the players talking about it. We were running that event, and, you know, I, as somebody that's about to turn 50 myself, to be able to see Phil Mickelson go out there at that age and succeed on the highest level at the PGA Championship. Sure, I'm a PGA member. I'm very proud of the PGA Championship, the Ryder Cup, the Masters, the Majors. You can't help but follow those. I just don't get to sit back and watch. I got to watch the SportsCenter version and see the recaps. So we'll get on social media and watch the clips of the great shots that happened during the tournaments. And we'll always root on our Kentucky players, whether it's J.B. Holmes or Emma Talley or Justin Thomas or the next young super golfer that's going to come up, whether it's Billy Tom Sargent or John Augenstein. There's going to be all kinds of great players that have been on the junior ranks in Kentucky in the past that you're going to see on TV competing in majors, competing in regular tournaments, competing on the Corn Ferry Tour. What a great time to be involved with golf in Kentucky.
You know, it's so great that you mentioned Billy Tom Sargent. His mom does my taxes. And we just had a whole conversation about Billy Tom because she's been going to these events, too. I know she was somewhere this past weekend again where Billy Tom was trying to get into the Corn Ferry Tour event. And we've had a lot of great players. I was just watching Steve Flesch on the Champions, PGA Tour Champions out there. Anyway, all
we're going to have to go. We're cutting
as
close.
I said before,
I appreciate your time as always. Folks, thanks for thanks for tuning in today. You are listening to Kentucky Outdoors with John Stepp here on ESPN 1300.
We got a great month ahead of us in June. We'll be talking to you, obviously, a lot during that time and updating everybody on what's going on. And again, thank you so much. Have a safe rest of your Memorial Day weekend, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Sounds good. Backspin one is the coupon code for a $6 membership. Bluegrassgolftour.com is the website to find everything else you need. Thank you, Matthew.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back to Backspin Golf. Now, I've been talking a lot about how great amateur golf is to watch. And it's not only me. All of us have gotten really involved. The NCAAs were last week, and there was a big upset in NCAA women's golf. The men are going now. And I am so excited to have Julie Williams join us on Backspin here. It's been a little while since we spoke with her, but she, as well as the rest of the peeps at Golf Week, do such an incredible job of covering amateur golf, all different kinds of things, that I'm very thankful to have her on. Hi, Julie.
Hi, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, it's, as I've said, everybody there at Golf Week, to those of us that love the game, are just so thankful we have you guys to rely on for all our coverage. And let's start with last week's NCAA Women's Championships, the team championship, the individual championship, and boy, is she something. But normally you go to these events, but we're coming out of COVID. Things are still kind of getting settled. So you stayed home, and our buddy who has joined us many times, Beth Ann Nichols, was actually out there.
Correct. Yes. So I was still glued to it.
I was too. And that's the great thing, is so many people, it seems like many more people are watching not only amateur golf, but women's golf now, including the LPGA Tour. I'm not sure about whether this is pandemic influenced, or do you have any idea why that seems to be?
You know, I think the pandemic might've had something to do with it. I also just think, you know, maybe what's going on in the country right now, you know, I think women are getting a bigger focus, and I think that extends to a lot of sports, and golf being one of them for sure. And we definitely have some storylines, some kids worth knowing, some kids who, I mean, heck, at the Women's Open last December, you had a college player, well, a couple of them, who were right in it until in the very end, you know? So I don't know if maybe that, I think that the numbers and the hype around the Women's Open was really big in December, partially because of that time slot. They weren't competing with anybody like they do in the middle of the summer. So maybe this is a natural transition. You know, if you were watching the match play for the NCAA Women's last week, then you definitely saw Caitlin Papp, who was that player right in the thick of the Women's Open. So there's definitely crossover, and I think maybe that helps.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a convergence of, as we said, the pandemic and scheduling being different and all of those things. Mm-hmm. Let's start with at the NCAAs, the individual champion. And tell everybody listening a little bit about her, because we're going to be hearing about her for quite a while.
Oh, I think so. Right. So you're talking about Rachel Heck, of course, who's a Stanford freshman. I think she is the real deal. And that's not really a surprise. She had a stellar junior career. She played in a couple of majors. I'm thinking particularly the Evian on the LPGA. I think that was 2-3 years ago, and made the cut. And you know, I think that was probably when she got on the radar. And Stanford had it tough. A lot of West Coast schools had it tough in the fall, because I think Stanford, particularly being in that, you know, heavily populated Northern California area, they were pretty much on lockdown. You know, no schools in the Pac-12 played in the fall, so we didn't see her. And maybe that was part of the reason it seems like she came out of nowhere and had this great spring. But she won 6 times, and she swept the postseason. We haven't seen anybody do that since, I think, Annie Park did it in 2013. So that doesn't happen very often. And she's such a humble player, which I really appreciate. She's always got a big smile, you know, and very much like, oh, you know, I'm just so happy to be here, and what a great opportunity. I think she loves that Stanford team.
Yeah.
So, you know, she I think is going to sweep the postseason awards. She was announced as the Annika Award winner last week, which is kind of like college golf's Heisman, I would say.
It's right.
By players, coaches, media. We're going to see her. I think we're going to continue to see her at Stanford too. I don't see her taking flight for the LPGA anytime soon. She doesn't strike me as that kind of player. A lot of Stanford players don't. They stay, you know, they want
right.
to continue too.
Yeah. And, you know, it's all of it. When you just talked about her and you said you were talking about the Evian, she's a freshman at Stanford, which means she's 18, I'm assuming. We're talking about 2 or 3 years ago when she made the cut. She was 15 or maybe 16. So many of these players now on the men's side, too. It's a joke. I mean, it is a joke how young they are and how incredibly talented already they are.
Yes. And, you know, they're training smarter and better. Yeah. They're starting earlier. And the junior golf opportunities, I mean, she's a player. So she's, you know, she's playing for Stanford now, but she grew up in Tennessee. They have a really strong state association and junior program there. So she's benefiting from that. She's benefiting from the American Junior Golf Association. There's just lots of places for players like her on the both, you know, men's and women's side to play and compete. And that makes such a difference.
Yeah, it does. We're speaking with Julie Williams of Golf Week. You can follow her on Twitter at golfweek_Jules. And it's worth it because now you weren't at, I assumed because I follow you and religiously read your Twitter feed as I do with Beth Ann. And I assumed you were there because the coverage was so amazing. And when I got in touch with you about joining us today, when you said that you actually weren't there, I was shocked, to be honest. All of you are doing such a great job together of covering these events. It's amazing to me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, I talk to these players and these coaches throughout the year and
right.
play. And so a lot of times I'm, you know, still watching on TV, still watching the scoreboard, still hearing from them. So it feels like I'm there sometimes.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about the team championship, which I don't think maybe you did, but I did. And I watched, I followed this tournament closely, but the favorites, Oklahoma State, Duke, I thought one of those top two or three teams were going to win the NCAA championship. And it seemed to me out of nowhere, they had to be talented. I think they were ranked sixth, maybe, or something like that. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, I was at work and I see a video of the Ole Miss team running to go embrace their coach after they won the NCAA championship. I was kind of shocked, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think my shock set in even earlier. I didn't have one of our traditions that we always do is we make our staff picks. So we pick who are the eight teams we think are going to be on the bracket.
Right.
Well, I didn't even have Ole Miss on the bracket. I didn't even see them advancing to match play, which isn't even, you know, which isn't a knock on them by any means.
No.
But I mean, and the tournament itself did not shake out. There were lots of things that happened that I would never have predicted. So I picked Southern California to win. They finished 24th out of 24th. And so they didn't even make it. And that never happened. South Carolina didn't break the bracket. I thought they would be a contender. So, you know, but I think this kind of speaks to why we need the match play. We've been doing that in the women's championship since 2015. I mean, Stanford is a great team and it was very exciting. I think they were up like 26 shots at some point during the week. They ended up winning
yeah.
the play by 13, which is on the cusp of a runaway, what I would call a runaway.
Yeah.
And I think people might've checked out after 36 or 54 holes. If you've got a team that's kind of running away, because that's frankly what USC and Duke used to do every year.
Right.
And so Stanford actually lost in the quarterfinals when an Arizona player makes a crazy gagger putt from the back of a green on an extra hole and Stanford's out. And, you know, if you were following it closely, you're probably picking Stanford the whole way. So,
right.
You know, I think Oklahoma State definitely impressed. Ole Miss definitely impressed me. They've got a couple of who I would say are the, you know, savviest coaches in the game, good at recruiting, you know, mm-hmm. very good at coaching up their players. You go to those two programs, you play for Greg Robertson at Oklahoma State and Corey Hinkes at Ole Miss, and you get better, you know, which is the goal, right? If you're going to go play college golf, you want to go somewhere to make you better.
Yep.
So that's, you know, I think that's something that those two teams and coaches definitely have in common. So would I have picked that final match? No. You know, they deserve to be there? Yes, absolutely.
Well, it's like any sport, except it is very different because there's match play is so great. We need more match play everywhere, on the PGA Tour, on all of it, because you never know who's going to make a 60-foot bomb to eliminate somebody. And that's exactly what happened there. And kudos to them. And one of the other things before we move on, I can't remember which player it was, but I was watching and they said, and she was great, whoever it was, she's not going to play professional golf. She wants to be a veterinarian, or, you know, was some. And I'm watching this young lady play, and she was great. I wish I could remember who it was, but the college golf is really spectacular. That's the bottom line.
Yes, absolutely. You may be talking Amelia Migliaccio from Wake Forest. She's actually
That's why you're Julie. That's who it was. That's right.
She's going to be it. She wants to go into golf journalism, which I think is excellent. So she's joining the dark side. As I told her, I saw her at Augusta National Women's Amateur, and I said, you're about to become one of us. And what a great
position. That's awesome. That's so great. All right. In the couple minutes we have left, we have the men's coming up and being played. What's going on there? I don't even know why I'm asking you, because you picked a team that then was 24th. So I don't even know why I'm doing that. What can we expect from the men this year?
You know, and you picked it right on the head there. I mean, we made picks for the men's too. And so we picked, you know, our bracket, and we picked who would win and who would win the individual title. Our kind of college golf guru is Lance Ringler.
Yes.
Well, our brackets look totally different. He's got Pepperdine winning the whole thing. I don't even have them on my bracket. I have Texas winning the whole thing. He doesn't have them on his bracket. So, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of the same of trends or themes that we saw on the women's side. I think some of the West Coast teams are certainly at an advantage because, mm-hmm. like, you know, the ACC and SEC teams never really got out there, many of them, to see that golf course. And desert golf is a totally different beast. So
right.
Part of what we saw, the scores were pretty high, and several of the teams that we expected to play well on the women's side didn't do so hot early in the week. I think you might see some of that early week, the men's too. And then, you know, by the time they're going to play 72 holes of stroke play. So by the time we get to Sunday, Monday, and the cuts start falling to minimize the field, I think probably who we were expecting to be at the top will shake, you know, that'll shake out. So I think we'll see Oklahoma and Texas and Oklahoma State on the men's side, probably up near that top of the pack. I think Florida State is a team to watch. Certainly a lot of the guys who, if you were watching the Walker Cup earlier this month, a lot of those same guys, I think, are going to be storylines. Cole Hammer for Texas, Florida State. Texas also has Pearson Cootie. So those guys are the guys who are going to be carrying their teams this week. But, you know, I think it's the same. Who knows who's going to get in that bracket? And then who knows how some of those matches are going to shake out, which I love. I love it.
That's why, you know, a lot of the tournaments, even like March Madness, you see, you know, an elephant picking the winner correctly, and all the experts have no idea. So it's the same kind of thing. All right. We have a couple of minutes left, and that's all. You're covering all this amateur golf and different things. Do you get time to sit down and watch the PGA Tour, the LPGA, or are you just so immersed right now in amateur golf?
You know, as the summer progresses, it'll change a little bit, you know, because I'll key into a lot of the summer tournaments. But I still watch probably PGA Tour more than I do LPGA Tour. And that's probably because of the time slot it's on.
Yeah.
But I do watch, you know, most Sundays I'm sitting there glued to the TV watching the PGA Tour finish. And I do enjoy it. The part I probably enjoy this aspect more watching the LPGA is I remember these kids. And it's so cool to me to, you know, it's kind of the same concept. Sometimes you know, with a Rachel Heck, this kid's going to be good. I'm going to be seeing her for years.
Right.
And then there are some who really blossom after college and you start to see everywhere and make a big jump or a big leap. And so, you know, that's going to happen on the men's side too. And does happen on the men's side. So I think that's what's interesting to me is I like to learn the names and know who they are. And I kind of know their background. And then by the time they get to the PGA Tour, my hope is too, is that we've told their story. And I think that's kind of what we always go for at Golf League. This has always sort of been our DNA, is we tell you who they are before you realize why you should know who they are.
Right. So. Right. Well, that's, as I said, you, Beth Ann, all the great writers at Golf Week. All right. Last question. Your bio says you're still chasing a sub 5 handicap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, okay. You know, I'm like a 12 right now. And I could say I'm chasing a sub 5. I could also be a 30 and say I'm chasing a sub 5. I'm assuming you're probably pretty good.
What about a 7 right now?
No, I'm just at 7 right now. Okay.
I am trying. I think we've talked about this before. I coach a high school team here where I live. And so that gets me out. I get out and I play with them during the summer. Not so much during the season because we got a lot going on.
Yeah.
That keeps me out with them playing. And I try to play a state tournament every summer. That's, you know, people who are interested in playing and want to get their handicap down or just want to play in a tournament, like the state association stuff is awesome. I love those tournaments.
When is your state tournament this summer? Do you know yet?
I believe it's like the last week of June. So I'm waffling on if I'm going to be able to play in that one. Just the women's.
Oh, go for it. Go for it.
And
then, we'll check in with you after that and find out when your handicap is a 4.8 and you've won that tournament. We'll check back in with you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you for the confidence.
Thank you so much, Julie. It's so great to talk to you, and thanks for the great work you do, and have a wonderful rest of the time until we chat again. Thank you.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Men O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. Joining me now, I'm having deja vu. I feel like I say this every Sunday. Joining me now, my guy at Men O' War, the guy. Don't tell Brad I said that. The guy at Men O' War. Matt McCrady, my partner in golf, as I always like to say. Hi, Matt McCrady.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I hope you are.
Good.
I'm just hoping I can play some golf today and tomorrow. Yeah, that's all. It's not a lot to ask.
Really not. Hard as you work, it's really not a lot to ask.
Thank you very much. Did you hear that, Sean? Anyway, since last we spoke, which happened to be about a week ago, right at this time, almost exactly a week ago, Phil won the PGA Championship, as we all now know. I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on Phil and being able to not only compete, but to win a major championship when he's so old, which is 20 years younger than I am, but quite the accomplishment from Phil. And once again, just shows in golf, you can suck for a long time and all of a sudden, whatever it is, clicks, and there you go.
You just need that one special week, right?
Yep.
I mean, how cool. I mean, it is cool, right? I mean, this was my favorite stat that I realized at the end of it. He's the last guy to win as an amateur on the PGA Tour, and now he's the oldest major champion.
And that's pretty all cool. You need to know about golf.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think, you know, they would. I was listening to some people talk about his last, you know, like 6 or 8 major appearances, and there was like 3 or 4 cuts in there. So, like, he hasn't really been contending in majors at all. You know, he has had some T20s and, like, most everything's been T30 or above, a T70, lots of cuts, and then boom. The one week that you don't expect Phil to win, when you have to drive the ball well, which is something he's never done his entire life, he drives it like a stallion, you know, it's, albeit on 16, where he drove it 366 yards, which is pretty decently short, I guess, if you want to say.
Yeah, it's a nice poke.
That's a good poke. And then he wins it on the week he's not supposed to. But it's pretty cool, right? I mean, that's what we all wanted. That was what our hearts wanted. So we got what our hearts wanted.
Yeah. Well, as I've always said, that right now in golf, there's only two people I don't ever want to win, ever. Not only not win, but not be in contention. So I don't have to watch coverage of them. And, you know, that's exactly what I got, except for a few shots by the bulk. I didn't see the cheater the whole weekend of coverage.
Wasn't around.
And that was great for me. So there we go. So Phil wins. And immediately after that, it goes right into social media hysteria, because we haven't talked about this. We had the bulk walking behind Brooks, as we all have seen it a million times. I watched it 100 times that first day, and just to laugh because it was so funny to me. And that escalated during the week with the bulk acting like a third grader with the he doesn't even know how to do this social media stuff correctly without being the brunt of all kinds of memes and different things. Right. So that must have amused you too, right? It has.
I like Brooks, and I like Brooks's humor and how he's very nonchalant about everything and just kind of
right.
doesn't care attitude. And I'm kind of a big fan of that. And yes. just him react like he did in that video with the bulk walking by behind him and just completely losing all focus just because he couldn't, like, that's how stupid Bryson is. It was pretty funny, not gonna lie.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Now that takes us to something else was announced this week. We all know this is done before. It was done with Phil and Tiger. And this time, this made-for-TV match, if you want to call it that, I didn't even see when it is. I think it's in July. Is it in July? I'm not even sure when it is, because when I saw who's playing, I got so disgusted that I immediately went somewhere else. It's going to be Phil and Tom Brady again, and Aaron Rodgers and the bulk. Now, here's the problem I have with this. If he were just this very likable guy who has transformed his body and done things nobody's ever done in terms of the game of golf and his swing and distance, and I would be okay with it. He is an incredibly polarizing figure. And I get it. That's why they're doing this. But out of all the people that you could have paired with Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady and Phil, Justin Thomas, Jordan, Colin Morikawa, who else has a great sense? If you pick anybody else, they picked him. And so my feeling is, instead of watching this for what it should be, which is a really cool match play setup with two professional athletes, I mean, other than golfers,
right,
and two golfers, this is now going to be like, I don't even want to watch it now, because it's going to be so much of the focus is going to be on biceps and all the crap that went. I don't even care if he hits it 400 yards. I don't right. care. And I have a problem with that. Do you?
I'm just not excited. Just kind of like you. I'm just really not excited about it. I like Phil, and it just, you know, I'm not a big Tom Brady fan because I'm a Steelers fan. So for correct. All those.
Yeah, me either. Yeah. Right.
So, he's kind of annoying with his perfect face and all that.
Six, yeah.
7,000 Super Bowl rings. I don't mind yeah. Aaron Rodgers. He's a cool cat. You know,
yeah.
he's probably mad that they didn't they didn't let him throw it on fourth down. They just decided to kick the field goal.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just, I guess it would be more, so, you know, more exciting to me if Tiger was in it, maybe. But, you know, obviously he's hurt, but
right.
I'm kind of like, maybe, I think I'd be more excited if JT was in it.
Yeah, absolutely. He has a great sense of humor.
Right. I mean,
Jordan, you know, is great because we'd hear him talking the whole time about what shot he's going to hit. And
yep.
I mean, he and Michael Greller being mic'd so much now is one of the best things about watching a PGA event.
If you can hear it over the announcers talking so much.
Well, there, don't get me started. See, I went a whole show without saying anything about announcers, but yes, that is correct. Or commercials. That is correct. It's a glimpse into that relationship we've very rarely seen. And nobody talks more about a shot than Jordan Spieth and Michael Greller. So right. That would have been fantastic. Anyway, that kind of sucks. All right. We got a couple minutes left. What's going on out of Thoroughbred?
It's, you know, we're enjoying this Memorial Day weekend. We're still open tomorrow for Memorial Day, regular play. We've got some tee times still available, not very many. It's filling up pretty quick. Golf course is coming along. We're making some improvements. And, you know, Mother Nature has helped us a little bit with some rain. You know, we've kind of needed some rain. But the golf course is phenomenal. On the greens are some of the best you'll putt on. We're just excited to have everybody and be open. And just, you know, revamp this place that has a lot of potential, and the golf course has a ton of character, and
right.
Just to be out there and be a part of it, you know, us being Man of War Golf. And then Man of War Golf, we've got junior camps galore, so summer camps all summer, and we've got adult clinics starting up again this in June. So, I mean, all things, and we're still doing club fittings. We're still doing lessons, buy six, get one free. We're still doing all of the great stuff we always do. Mm-hmm. It's just rolling along like a freight train.
And before you know it, it'll be over. We'll be talking about football, and it's school is starting up. So people need to get over to Man of War, get over to Thoroughbred. If you've never played that golf course in Nicholasville, do yourself a favor and go out there and play. And, you know, as always, thanks for doing this. You're a great one. I'll see you this week. Maybe you'll be there. You're at Thoroughbred a lot. I was at Man of War twice to do some chipping and hit some balls.
Which is good. That's what we need. We got Charles has been aggravating you. I know that.
I know. Well, I need you is who I need. Much as I love Charles. Anyway, have a great holiday tomorrow, and I'll talk to you during the week and next week on Backspin Golf. Thanks, pal.
That's great. Yep.
Cool. All right, that'll do it for another edition of Backspin Golf. What an incredible morning this has been. We'll be talking, obviously, much more about the Backspin series with the Bluegrass Golf Tour, the Junior Series. I can't thank Chris Reddle enough for this opportunity. I'm honored to be a part of this. And it's going to be a great June with seven different events. Again, go to bluegrassgolftour.com and check it all out. And if you have a youngster that's 18 or under and they want to get involved in these events, all you got to do is put the code in backspin1, and it's $6 to join this great series for the whole summer. Thanks, of course, to Man of War Golf, Edwin Watts, Georgetown Advantage Air, Commonwealth Credit Union, Clark's Pump and Shop, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, Kentucky CBD, Gearheads, Lexington Parks and Rec, and Jake Cigar Bar. How about all those partners we have on Backspin? This is really something. Thanks to Sean, as always, for everything he does. For me here. And we'll be back next week. Have a safe Memorial Day. It's ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.